your non-stop entertainment radio.
Judah, 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 Jud Good morning and top of the morning. Yes, very upbeat song, Judah. I love that. Who shall we send for? We send Judah. We send for our praises into the battlefront. Father, we thank you for the privilege that is called today. Thank you, Lord, for causing us to experience another day in your presence. We just thank you for the things that only you could have done, what you are doing. We acknowledge you in our midst today. We commit our session unto you. We ask, Lord, that you take total and absolute control. And at the end of this journey with you, this time with you, this fellowship and communion, we pray that your name alone will be exalted. We will have been blessed for having been in your presence. Want to remember all our listeners who are tuned in. Lord, be with them. Grant them favor in every sphere of their life as they grow mature in the things of the Spirit. I pray that their steps will be ordered by your Spirit. I pray that the leading of the Spirit will be their portion also. Father, Lord, even to those that are looking unto you, I pray that they will come to know you as their source, their sufficiency, the one who is the beginning, the end, the Alpha and Omega. You are the one that is more than enough for whatever it is they desire. You are the I am in their situations and circumstances. Whatever it is they desire that you be, that is what you will be for them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of this new day. To you alone be all the glory and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Good morning, lovely people. Welcome to yet another edition of Morning Dew. You're tuned to Radio Africana, and it's a privilege being with you again this morning. Okay, so we want to just pick up from where we left off, but with a kind of pause. I'm being prompted in the Spirit to just have a little pause, just to maybe to consolidate on how far we've come. So we've been looking at authority and power for a long time. We've been looking at the foundations required to really walk in that authority, access that authority, flow in that authority, demonstrate that authority and power which has been given to us as a gift. And so we started off with the essential that the Word was there in the beginning. So it's the first mention, the first principle. You know, without the Word was nothing made that was made. So everything that's going to be made, you know, in our lives, in this reality, is by the Word. He sent forth His Word and it will not return to Him void. Every word He sent forth must accomplish its purpose. So we started with the Word, emphasizing that it's God's change agent. All right, and that's important that we get an understanding, be acquainted with the benefits, and know how it is we interact with the Word of God. And so by so doing, we come in alignment with what He's doing in and through us, you know. And so we mentioned about the study of the Word, more importantly the meditating, knowing that there are two complete disciplines, studying of the Word. Scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. You are a workman to do a work. You've been called to do a particular work. And so you must study to show yourself approved concerning that work, that you're competent, you are able to deliver, able to carry out your assignment, your task, you know, according to the will of the master and to the pleasing of the master. Right, so that requires extensive study. It requires a different ways you can study. And we talked about study being you being able to capture important salient points, information, being able to come to a place of understanding. And then we moved into meditating, where you digest, you assimilate, you take out the nutrients, you go deeper into the depths of the intents of that Word, you know, and have a great understanding of that, you know, and that helps us tremendously. And then we talked about other things that we needed to, you know, be acquainted with, you know, being still in the presence of God. And that's in His presence, in His fullness. There's all that we require is in His presence, and bringing us to an understanding that He is, you know, taking out a very great work of transformation, the process. All right, so we have to be sensitized to the protocols in coming into His presence, how we stay there, how we conduct ourselves, and how we can maximally benefit from our time in His presence. We are reminded that we're given 24 hours a day. How much of that are you investing in His presence? We talked about the example of Jesus, that He rose early in the morning, when it was dawn of the new day, the new season. season to be with the Father. Brethren, everything that we do every day, we step out there, we are ministers of this gospel. We're called into a priesthood. So there are protocols for our priesthood. That's how we conduct ourselves, and the sacrifices we must bring in coming before the presence of the Lord. All of these things we needed to understand. Okay, so we, you know, spoke extensively about, you know, some of these disciplines in our previous sessions, and some of the key attributes to be developed and cultivated. Two different words, developing and cultivated. Just while I was coming preparing for this session, a couple of scriptures came to mind. Wisdom, the Bible makes us to understand, has our children. Hello. So when you engage with wisdom, the Bible says wisdom, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So when we come into his presence, we have to have this awesome fear of who it is we stand before, the monarch of the universe, the Alpha and Omega, the one in whom we live, we move, we have our being. There's a great deal of scriptures, just even the names of God and what he does according to each of his names. He's our provider, he's our healer, you know, he's the God of war, you know, mighty in battle. He's never lost a battle before. So when he says to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 14:14, stand still and you will see the salvation, stand still and God will fight for you, he has never lost a battle. But sometimes you need to stand still, sometimes you need to let him take the reins and he will do what he needs to do. And so in all of these things, it just emphasizes our total dependence on him, on his wisdom. And when we have taken time to tap into, you know, the revelation that comes, the entrance of the word brings light, brings understanding even to the simple, you know. So there's a lot of insight which is like, you know, data which has to be processed into information so that we come to a place of understanding. And so it's not necessarily the volume of scripture, but the depth of your conviction in every scripture that you hold on to. It is, each one has the potential to deliver to you whatever it is you're expecting according to the purpose for which it was sent. So if you hold on to a verse of scripture concerning healing, well, whatever it says in that is a prophetic declaration into your situation or what can be made available to you. All right, and so we're going to look at some of the importance of believing the, you know, instruction of the word, the report of the Lord, and all of that, and how we respond to that. Again, Proverbs chapter 9, it says, wisdom has built her house, and she has set up her seven pillars. So there are pillars. When you imbibe wisdom, when you embrace wisdom, she will create and build a house for you. Hello, somebody. And we're being built up a spiritual house, and wisdom is essential. The Lord give us understanding. Some other version says she has carved out her seven pillars. Some other scriptures make us to understand that by their fruits we will know them. So the attributes that we're imbibing, the attributes that we value, the attributes that we focus and we are intently believing, expecting that the potential within those scriptures, those prophetic words, be made manifest in our situation or circumstances, you know, then the Bible said the expectation of the righteous man shall not be cut off. So there's a reward, you know. It says whoever believes in God, whoever comes before him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So for coming before him, for believing that he is, for believing that he sent his word, he rewards those who diligently seek him. So your efforts of coming before him, standing before him, of seeking his face, of, you know, coming to respond to his many, many invitations, you know, will be rewarded with the demonstration and the delivery that that specific prophetic word can bring into your situation and your circumstance. And so it's important that we just remind ourselves about the word, about the study, meditating. One of the things I don't want to assume here is that everybody has an understanding. No, you try and avoid that when you're teaching. If something you have not really understood, what does that word study mean, then take time out to explore, to study, to do due diligence on that singular word, so that every time it's used it makes sense. If it's the meditating, you know, what does that mean? Take time, you know, digest, chew the cord, you know, like the cow, it chews the grass and it goes into a compartment, you know, and then later when it's more relaxed it begins to chew from the cord. And that's what assimilation is. That's where you grind the grass that has been chewed. So the process of chewing is something else, but the process of you assimilating is another process. It's where you pull out the ingredients, you pull out the nutrients within that which you have used to nourish yourself. So it's a much deeper pulling of that which is within that which you've taken. It's also looking at it from the standpoint or metaphor of a seed planted. So that seed has within it the potential to bring forth, whether it's an orange tree, an apple tree, mango tree, whatever, the potential lies within that seed. That seed is capable by design, instructed by the master. So the master sent forth the word like a seed, and it has potential to become what it was proposed to be made manifest into. So you need to have that insight, that understanding, and how to handle the seed. We know the Proverbs parable in Mark chapter 4 talking about the sower and the seed. Really about 2-3 parables in that chapter is worth studying, exploring, so that you understand what the seed is, the word of God in your heart. Understand what the acceptable ground is and how to engage with the word of God, how to prepare your heart so your heart becomes what is qualified in the parables at good ground, one that is able to accommodate the seed, incubate it, bring in all the necessary, you know, chemical, you know, environment, build the chemical environment necessary to enhance, you know, growth, you know, bring about the breaking of the seed so that that which is within can find expression. Bible says, except a seed fall to the ground and die. So it has to fall into good soil, into the ground and die. It's part of the process. Then it springs forth new life. First the sprouts, then the stems, and then the plant begins to blossom. These things cannot be assumed. We want to have a thorough understanding exactly what they mean. So my pause today was to bring us to a place where we can reflect, really evaluate, consolidate so far on what it is we have learned, the importance of the word of God, so the source of life, and the importance of the word of God as his change agent. So that word is the very source. Without the word was nothing made. Okay, that word has the living life. The words that speak to you, John chapter 5 verse 39, they are spirit and they are life. So you want to make sure you are engaging with the word to be able to pull out that which is spirit and that is life. And so that's connecting with the word. We'll look at that in some detail, because that will be his change agent. All right. Now, the discipline of studying of the word, and we talked about, and meditating, and the importance of this assimilation of the word for growth, for development and change. Anything that will grow will experience change. So they're going to go through some, and your life is no exception. Your destiny is no exception. So the need for our righteousness to exceed that of the scribes. We mentioned that also last week. All right. So whatever it is, we look at our activities, and then we want to, you know, talk about our righteousness. You know, the Bible makes us to understand that as believers, if you're not going to die the same death that mere men die, then your righteousness, your activities, your right standing before God will have to exceed, okay, that of the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious systems. So that's something we also mentioned. And what does that mean? Again, it's this disciplines, your understanding, and the depth to which you explore, your journey into the depths of revelation that these words can bring for you. Now the need for your own righteousness to exceed them also means that you'll subscribe to the righteousness that is from God. So in Christ, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All our own righteousness are like filthy rags before the Lord. So, you know, there is a way that seems right to a man, but we want to be right by God. The Bible talks about wisdom. There's the wisdom of the world, but the Bible says it leads to, you know, destruction, right? But there's a wisdom that comes from above that will keep you. So we must be sure when we talk about righteousness, when we talk about wisdom, which righteousness, whose righteousness are we subscribing to? It makes all the difference. So, and this will help us to exceed the righteousness of the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious institutions and systems. Now, the Bible makes it clear, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So these are just some of the things we've mentioned. So for sustenance, your life is more than your body. Your life is more than meat. Your life is more than drink, okay? So you need more than eating, drinking to be sustained. And so this word of God is food for your spirit, man. You must know how to engage with it, assimilate from it, cause it to grow, give it time to grow, and it will bring certain important benefits to you. So we talked about some of the benefits of being in the Word. You know, it makes you wiser than your teachers, wiser than the agents. It brings light, it brings illumination. There's so much. These cannot just be written. I pray that you apply yourself to a point where you can testify that truly the Word brings insight, truly the Word brings revelation, truly the Word takes me through a process to the place where I have an understanding, and I can truly become wiser, even more than my teachers, and wiser than the ancients. Now, these are written as you study, but I want you to travel deep in the revelation, deep in the application, so that you become one who can take delivery and testify to the goodness of God, to the reality of what is prophetically declared in the Word of God. The Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy, which is the Word of God, and we, you know, I advise anyway that to heed and take its advice. So the Word of God is so foundational and fundamental when we talk about the foundations for accessing authority and power. Okay, so I just wanted to get that out of the way so that we understand that clearly, and then we will come back and then look at some, you know, other things I want to consider as we have this little pause to consolidate, so that we have a deeper understanding, not volumes of scripture, but depths of conviction. Catch you on the other side of the break.
Some God was laid in darkness.
Lovely track there. Welcome back if you're just joining us. That was Kerry Job, you know, Forever. Lovely, lovely track. Right, so we've been looking at taking a pause at the same time on the foundations that are required to walk in authority and power. And we mentioned especially extensively about the Word of God, studying the Word, meditating, you know, righteousness, making a decision which righteousness to subscribe. The righteousness of the scribes, Pharisees, and religious leaders, or the righteousness that is from God in Christ Jesus. You've been declared the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I suggest, advise, recommend, admonish that we subscribe to God's word. Hello, somebody. Okay. And then we talked about the wisdom. The Bible talks about the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, demonic. I subscribe that you apply, you subscribe to the wisdom that comes from above. So there's a lot of words that are thrown at us. They're projected in our directions. They convey their own teachings, doctrines. We have to be careful that whatever it is we're taking in, assimilating, is the word of God. That is what will sustain our spirit man. All right, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the word of God. Right, so in our pausing, there were some things I just wanted to highlight. First, this word of God is spirit and is life. Okay, and I said it's good that we explore that in some depth. But what I want to point out here, my main focus, is connectivity to the flow of life. So it's the source of our life. Okay, it's the strength of our life, it's the strength of our heart. We must remain connected. Now, a scripture that really conveys this heavily, and I want us to take some time to just listen, but also to meditate and to study, is John chapter 15 and verse 7. And I read from the NIV version. It says, if you remain in me, so there's an abiding in him, and my words remain in you. So there are two different things. There's you having retained, okay, being in his presence, dwelling in his presence, tabernacling with him, fellowshipping, common union, communion with him, very important. And my words remain in you. So there are two different things. What comes to mind is Psalm 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart. So how do you inscribe the word of God on your heart? Okay, how do you hide it in your heart? How do you keep it within? Abide, remain in you, you know. And the Bible talks about this word, this book of the law shall not depart. You shall meditate upon it, like we've just said a few minutes, day and night. You shall inscribe it on the tablets of your heart. Okay, put it on paste notes, put it on your fridge, put it on your mirror, put it, you know, where your focal points, where you're, you know, studying, whether you're cooking, wherever, you know, that you constantly pay attention, keep it in view, right? Whatever methodology, okay, record it, write it out, you know, pen it down, whatever means necessary to keep it in view, to capture it, to inscribe it on your heart. You need to seriously focus on that as a lifestyle, particularly at your foundation. If you're just new in the faith, by studying, by memorization, any way that helps you to capture, put it in, let it travel all the way into your memory so that you can have it like on your fingertips, can be deployed when needed. It says, if you remain in me, so abiding, be still and know that I am God. So you need to learn how to abide in him. Those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we know what, study that psalm extensively, take each verse, you know, literally line by line, what is it saying, what's inscribing to you, what's it communicating, so you stay connected, so you stay in him and the word remains in you, and ask whatever you wish and it will be done, you know, for you. That's what's required here. Now let's look at the Amplified version. It gives a slightly different reading there. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. Okay, that is, if you are vitally united, okay, and my message, I love this person, and my message lives in your heart, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And again, that's the same 15 verse 7 there from the Amplified version. All right, so it's you remaining in him, his words remain in you, and if you're vitally united, we take up about that unity, that common union, that fellowship, and the message lives in your heart. So there's a message. We'll be looking in a few minutes at, you know, Isaiah's question, who has believed our report, who has believed Isaiah's message. His message was about the good news, and that was a challenge to the Israelites, and it is still a challenge to us today. You know, you've heard it before, you've been taught it before, but is it inscribed in your heart? Do you have it at the point, like on your fingertips, where you can deploy it when you're confronted with situations and challenges? Is that what comes out of your mouth? You know, by their fruits we will know them, by the words they speak. You know, so the key point there is connectivity, because out of the abundance of your heart springs forth the issues of life. So your heart must be connected to his. You know, our minds must be connected to the mind of Christ, to think in the thoughts of the Creator consistently. How do you get that consistent meditation? You need to be connected to the source of life, like a tree that's growing. Every branch must be connected in one way, shape or form back to the source, the main trunk, you know, and once it's cut off, it doesn't grow because of not having connectivity. So we need to be connected to the source and the flow of life. So I wanted to just communicate that very importantly. And then we have several invitations that there is an exalted position. You know, when we say be still and know, so you come to a place of rest. Hebrews helps us to understand how it is that we come into rest. That must take some extensive study as well. When it talks about coming into rest, we're seated with him far above principalities and power. So you're invited to sit, to reign, to rule from an exalted position. Learn how to come into rest. You know, now another important one is firm belief and faith in the word of God. You know, this is so, so important. And then we have this in Matthew chapter 19 verses 23 to 24. So you're studying the word, you're meditating, but your belief in what you've studied, your belief in that prophetic word, your belief and your faith in his word is so critical to your development. It's so critical to your maturing and growing. It says, with God nothing shall be impossible. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through, you know, the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. So that's my base and seemingly impossible feat. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? All right, so some things in a literal sense, in a physical sense, from our level of understanding, our limited understanding, let me put it that way, might seem impossible, you know. And so the disciples were concluding based on that then who then can be saved, you know. And Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So that's Matthew chapter 19. We just looked at verses 23 to 26. We're just having this discussion, explain to them the challenges for those that be rich, those that will have mundane things, those that are focused on the things of the world, to come into the kingdom. So again, like I said, that's what you subscribe to. You know, it's we can't be subscribing to things that are mundane. We can't be subscribing to things that are of this world. A man's life does not consist of the things that he owns and he has. No, not at all. You know, but in the relationship that he has. And so we need to understand that's what we must subscribe to. It says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. So seek the king, his domain, how that operates and how life is operated within that sphere, and every other thing will be added besides. The Bible says the Gentiles run after these things, so they've got the cart before the horse. That ought not to be so with you who are children of the living God. The Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. Right, so now it's a couple of questions, you know, the Bible poses, which I want us to study in under this very same thing about firm belief and faith in the Word of God. So we've talked about the Word of God connecting to the flow of life. Without the Word was nothing made that was made, but our belief in that Word is so clear. And there are several questions that are posed in different parts of the scripture, you know. Matthew chapter 9, you know, has some very insightful things. Let's look at 9:23. I want to look at something interesting there. It says, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So the question is, if you can believe, right? So this, we're looking at Matthew 19. It says, with God all things are possible. That means God is on a realm, another realm, a higher dimension, where with him all things are possible. Even what seems impossible for men is possible with God. Now think about this. But then the scripture says in Matthew chapter 9, did I say Matthew? I'm mixing up my scriptures now. It's Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter 9 verse 23. It says, if thou can believe, right? So there's a clause, if thou too can believe, then all things are possible to him that believeth. So if you are able to ascend, okay, if you're able to climb up, if you're able to, you know, take a journey into deeper revelation, deeper understanding, to the point where you can believe, then all things were possible for you because you believe the Word of God. Am I talking to somebody here? So we're talking about this firm belief and faith in the Word of God, but there is a protocol that must be followed. There's an engaging with the Word of God to get to the point where you now believe that report, you now believe that Word of God, then all things can be possible for you because you've gone through that process. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. Remember, this is not in our own strength, it's not in our own mind. It's subscribing to his righteousness and taking advantage of what the Word says you can be, you can do, you know, because you believe. It emphasizes the power of faith, which is what we're talking about, suggesting that belief in God's ability to do the miraculous things opens the door to overcoming obstacles and achieving what seems impossible. Think about that. This scripture is emphasizing the power of faith, which is what I'm trying to pause us to. Just think about the power of faith. Think about your firm belief and faith in the Word of God. It suggests that belief in God's ability. You are believing in God's ability, okay, to do miraculous things. The eye of the camel going through the eye of the needle. How is it going to be? Can you believe in God's ability to make it possible? That's all you need to subscribe to. Now, if you can believe in God's ability, then a lot of things that you're contending with will be made possible. It says, believing in God's ability to do the miraculous things opens up, okay, the door to overcoming obstacles. So the things that look like an obstacle, that thing that looks like a mountain or a hill before you, if you can believe in God's ability, then that mountain, that hill can become a level ground. Am I talking to somebody here? All right. But it's you subscribing in, believing in God's ability, and then doors will be opened as you journey. You'll be brought into, you know, the unveiling of mysteries, the unveiling of, you know, the deep secrets at higher level. But by your communion, your fellowship with Him, you journey into depths of insight and revelation, overcoming obstacles and achieving what seems to be possible. I really want us to ponder on that, that just by your believing in God's ability opens you up into diverse possibilities. This verse serves as a reminder of the importance of faith in one's life, encouraging individuals to trust in God's power and potential to change through belief. Look at that. It's God's power, okay? It's God's ability. It's God's can do. It's God's capacity to make what's impossible possible. You are believing in it. Opens you up into realms of possibilities. The Lord help us to understand this in Jesus' name. Okay, so like I said, when you're looking about believing in the Word of God, Isaiah asked a very, very pivotal question, and it's worth exploring that, you know. But we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and just coast for the last session, last bit of what I wanted to pause and bring to our attention today after the break. Catch you on the other side of this break.
Nor the moon.
Welcome back. Lovely track there by Stephanie Gritzinger, My Help. The Bible says, I shall look unto the hill from when cometh my help. Lovely people, you know, this pause session here is just emphasizing some very important things. And one of them is that we need to ascend to the hill. We need to ascend into his presence. It says, come up hither, let me show you great and mighty things. If we're perpetually at the realm where mere men operate on, then you will die the death of mere men. You will face the challenges that mere men. But if you will just believe in the one with whom nothing is impossible, you can be elevated. You can be, you know, brought into higher dimensions of insight, of revelation, of the operation of mysteries, of the word of God in action on a far greater dimension. And as we believe in his ability, then we open up to doors of, you know, tremendous possibilities in Christ Jesus. Yes, so we were talking about, if thou can believe, then all things are possible to him that believes. So your belief is so essential. Now, you know, we asked the question, which Isaiah asked, and it's again worth exploring. Isaiah, that is chapter 55, I believe it is, right? It says, who has believed our report? Now, it's a big question there, because there was a message that Isaiah was trying to communicate, and the people to whom the message was being communicated, you know, were not taking it seriously, you know, and he now was making a commentary on what happens to those that believe. And it's still the same message to us today. There's the message of the good news. Who has believed the good news? Who has believed the word of God? Who has believed these prophetic words we're talking about? These scriptures that we're reading, how many of you out there really and truly believe it with all your heart and your mind? And I mean, I'm committed to stand upon this word, come what may, to stand in the integrity, authenticity of this word in your situation and circumstances, and you will stand upon that word until your maker, you know, moves, what's the word, not saying, but you know, makes himself manifest, because there's somebody firmly rooted, grounded, believing absolutely God will watch over his word to perform it. Now, those are the kind of people he's searching for, people that will believe with every fiber of their being, not playing lip service, you know, not where if you have to look into, there's some unbelief here, there's some doubt, or you're saying you believe and the next moment you're acting in a different way. It's a contradiction, you know. So there can't be any conflicts, there cannot be contradictions, there must be alignment, congruency. What you believe, what you're saying, what you're expecting, everything must line up. And the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Again, I think it was also Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28. There's an interesting question that Jesus asked two blind men. He said, do you believe I'm able to do what you've requested for? Think about that. So they came to Jesus. Hello, somebody. They needed to be healed. All right. But he had to ask them a question about their faith. Do you believe that this which you're requesting, I'm able to do it? Remember, a few minutes ago, we said it's believing in God's ability to do. But he had to verify, do you actually believe? A lot of people will quote scriptures from now till the cows come home, but they don't believe Jack. You know, you hear a gunshot, something happened, they're out of the door. And it's like, okay, so where's that faith? It's out. Listen, it went with the sound. You know, our belief cannot be fleeting. You know, what was it now? Saul, thank you, Holy Spirit. Saul said he had obeyed God's word. Then the prophet asked him, where comes the bleating of the sheep? By their fruits you will know them. If you believe, there's fruits that come from believing. If you believe, there's utterances that come from believing. If you believe, there's actions you take that come from believing. And I really want us to really get our roots into not just the volumes of scripture, but whatever it is you say you believe, hold on to it, and the Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. Right, so then the last thing I want to do, we'll have a limited time, but let's see how we can squeeze it. I'm reminded of the woman with the issue of blood. She believed, that if I can but touch the hem of his garments, I'm going to be healed. That was her conviction. Hello, somebody. Me, I don't know what you read in the scripture. She just heard that Jesus was passing, and if I can just hold the hem of his garment, I will be healed. I heard somebody's testimony the other day similar to that. They believed that they were going to church. If pastor can just pray for me, a big church, so many people, why is he going to pray for you? But the person wrote this belief on scripts, put it in his mirror, put it in the kitchen, he soaked himself in that word. Am I talking to somebody here? This is practical, exercises of application. And he went into the hall, and the man of God started to minister, and lo and behold, the Lord's hand was like in the direction of that man and said, call him out, let me pray for him. You out of how many hundreds of people, but somebody believes. You remember the same thing with the woman with the issue of blood. They said there were so many people here, but he said somebody touched me. So there may be multitudes of people, but they are not connecting. Am I talking to somebody? They are not connecting by faith. They are not connecting by their belief. They are not believing what it is they say they believe. We can't play lip service to this. And God knows those who are serving him. They that know their God, they will take these decisive steps. They will take these decisions and they will do exploits. The last point I wanted to mention here, and I pray, is sustaining the flow. So we've talked about connection. We've talked about our firm faith in the Word of God. And I'll leave you this one as homework. How do you sustain the flow? First, you must not be disconnected. First, you must know how it is you draw from that source and make sure that drawing process is always there. A lot of us step out and we're, busy every day, ministering in different ways, working in our fields of endeavor, whatever it is. This is a depletion of that which you are carrying on the inside of you. So you must find time to be able to reconnect back to source, to recharge. Am I talking to anybody here? There will be a depletion. So you can't go out away from the presence and don't expect that life will happen to whatever is going on in your situation or circumstances. So my last point here is you must know how to sustain the flow, and the Lord give you understanding, and you want to be filled with so much of his presence, power, and authority, you minister from your overflow. The Lord give you understanding in these things. So as long as you're ministering from your overflow, then there's what still sustains you. There's that bit of fuel that will carry you back to the fuel station. Anybody getting this, people? So there must be a level where you get to and it's like, okay, I pause ministration. I need to recharge. I need to get back to that place where I can have overflow and always consistently minister for my overflow. Lovely people, it's been a great time with you today. I hope it's been a blessing. Our little pause just for emphasis to consolidate some ground. And I pray the Lord grant you understanding. The Lord cause you to step into higher levels of your walk with him, of walking in authority and power, of believing in the ability of God to do what he said he would do. Remember, he sent forth his word. It will not return to him void. So till we meet again, same time on the same station, this is me signing out. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and bye for now.
We sing together. Making your prayer. And I will call upon your name, Jesus.